Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess, and Jen, my co-host, is off duty today. She's getting ready to get married. So by the time you listen to this, she will be betrothed. So I am here. We've got Tiff in the studio, intern Tiff. What? And she and I are going to be kind of handling this today. We've got two topics that Jen was here for. So we're going to talk about clean beauty. It's a phrase that we hear so much that we just need to take a step back and think, what does it actually mean? And then also a new way to enhance your lashes. Then we're going straight to our stellar marquee interview with Gucci Westman, the makeup artist and founder of Westman Atelier. Hope you enjoy.
So Jess, tell me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like clean is the new green in the beauty world.
Clean.
You gave me a chuckle for that? That was the worst joke I've ever said.
No, but I like stuff like that. That is my sense of humor.
Okay.
So I didn't know you were trying to be funny. Okay. So clean is like a word that to me, it's just like, you know, breathing. Like it's just, it's part of our industry.
Thing. But I think what happened was there was a lot of blowback to words like natural and organic when everybody realized these words are not monitored by any governmental agency. You can use, well, organic, yeah. USDA organic is, but you can use them however you like. So everybody just started calling it clean, which also felt like we're not green and granola. We're clean. So you could still be high tech or K-beauty or anything else that's trendy right
now.
That's
a good point.
But clean. And I have pushed so many brands to be like, okay, so what does that mean? And what have you heard when you ask people that?
When I hear the word clean, I'm already kind of skeptical if they don't immediately follow it up with, you know, what clean means to them. Because I know that they just want to be seen as clean. And the reason I have a real problem with the word clean, because at least if you say like we're 98% like naturally derived or mm-hmm. organically derived, whatever.
Or we're vegan. Or
yes.
We like you give like a word that you can define.
Exactly. Like, or you get real specific.
Leaping bunny certified.
You got it. But clean to me infers that there's like a binary, like clean and dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is like who wouldn't want to be clean? And them inferring that by they're clean, others are dirty, I find a little bit like, do you remember in the 80s, the Coke and Pepsi wars? Mm-hmm. And like there were also advertisements like Tide cleans, you know, TK, such and such better than so and so. I think there were actually some laws about naming another brand. So they have to say like the other leading soda or the other leading.
Oh, I don't know about this and I don't remember that, but
I watched a lot of television. But they were always picking on another brand. And when I hear clean, I feel like there's a little bit of a lot of brands inferring that their brands are better than the other ones.
And it's funny when you look at what is clean. And I think a big reason that we're hearing this word is about a year ago is when Sephora put through their Clean at Sephora initiative.
Yeah.
I think it was a reasonable thing. Like, nobody knows how to define this. They were like, let's set our own standards for what it is.
Well, that's great that they did that because at least there's like something we can look at. So
and then they have their list
clean
of standards. So, for example, they are free of SLS and SLES, parabens, formaldehyde, phthalates. I am not going to get into the list of these and whether I agree or not if
sure.
you should or should not have these on your
that's
skin.
That's a separate segment.
Oh, Lord, is it. And mineral oil and more. And once you're free of these, you can be considered clean at Sephora. But I was looking at that list and I look at all these brands now that come out and they just list all the things they don't have. And I'm like, this is deceptive marketing because you could literally list free of asbestos, free of cancer, free of like the shit from the subway that I just brought through. Like you just could put anything on there and then people are like, oh, OK.
You distilled that into like so brilliantly because when I hear things like, you know, we use what, like there are 1,000 ingredients on the blah, blah list. We don't use any of them. It's like, well, neither does every mass brand.
Yeah, triclosan is a good example. So this was an ingredient that I remember the cleanser I used in my teens had triclosan. It was an antibacterial ingredient. Mm-hmm. It was in a lot of acne products back in the day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was found to have carcinogenic effects. Literally every company in the United States, I think as of like 2000, 2005, no one was using it. It was maybe one or two products that still used it. But everybody like touts it still to this day. Like, we don't use triclosan.
It's convenient. It's like, I don't like kill people.
Like, you know? PABA in sunscreens. It's PABA free. Everything's PABA free. Yeah.
So I think, you know, I don't think it's realistic for the average consumer to like get schooled up on all of this stuff. I think it's really a moment in time that we're going to look back on almost like, this is not a parallel analogy, but like the Snackwell moment where like everyone wanted fat free or do you know what I mean? Like kind of a craze.
Yeah, I do think some of these ingredients, as more science comes in, will finally be able to say like, yes, definitively, we should not like triclosan or talc, mm-hmm. you know, in body powders. You do not want to have talc. I will get behind the science on that. I'm not ready to do that with parabens or sulfates or any of that.
Just another side
some of them,
point.
Yeah.
Like a lot of luxury brands, they don't lead with that story, but they already are like, quote unquote, clean or cleanish, depending on your definition.
Right.
But
right.
it's not part of like clean is now a marketing strategy, just like Glossier, you know, used pink. You know, it's like it's part of their who they are. And a lot of brands don't want to, for whatever reasons, don't want to like throw away their heritage or like lead with that story.
So, I wonder if we'll have clean washing soon the way we had green washing a couple years ago.
I think we're there.
Yeah.
I think we're there.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm fine. I want dirty skincare, so it's fine with me. Give me all the stuff. Jess, remember how we talked about having at-home treatments and I never had one because I was afraid to let anybody inside my house?
Yes, yes.
I let someone inside my house.
Oh, wow. What was that? Was that weird?
It was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
So
what was the impetus? Why did you need
truly
a home treatment?
Because so Sugar Lash Pro is they do lash extensions, but they also do the lash lift and lash tinting.
Yes, we've talked about this.
And I really wanted to get one before my wedding and I asked them, where could I go? And they're like, oh, they're all independent, the women that, you know, we would send to you.
Oh.
And I said, okay. They're like, they can come to your office. And then I just pictured myself laying on a massage table at the office for an hour and a half to get a lash lift.
How embarrassing.
There's no way I could justify that.
People would, be bringing layouts to you.
Like, I'd be like, no, you can't see. Your eyes are, like,
sealed
shut.
That's what I'm saying. You're just, signing, stuff you don't even know.
So yeah. I was like, "Are you okay? All right. They want to come all the way out to Brooklyn. Let's do this." So my lovely lash artist came out.
What's her name?
Her name was Megan Beck.
Okay.
And I got my lash lift. And I have to say, it was actually not so bad.
Was it relaxing? Where's she set up?
in my little office, she set up the massage table. We have good light in there.
We have great light.
She needed a table and a chair. And I don't know if you – I think I talked about getting a lash lift once before. I've done it once before. But basically, they put like a little adhesive Band-Aid thing on your lashes to like keep your eyes closed while they're doing it. And then the little – it's like a little curler rod goes on. And then they paint on the solution that breaks the bonds and turns it into a curl. So the whole thing takes an hour and a half. It takes like 40 minutes to set the curl.
Wait, I've got to ask you something. Did you feel, and I think some listeners will relate to this, maybe if even if you don't feel this way, did you feel claustrophobic?
While my eyes were sealed shut, I didn't. But I like sort of turned to like rhythmic breathing or meditative breathing when I'm in those kind of situations.
Okay. Because
I feel like if you really breathe deeply, you cannot get claustrophobic or anxious. I'm sure you can,
yes,
but
you
it
can.
Really helps. I will tell you what made me anxious, though.
What?
My bathroom. So she comes in, she's like, oh, can I use your bathroom? I was like, shit, I don't know. There might be toothpaste on the sink. I don't know what my condition my toilet's in.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, sure. I was like, why don't you set the table? Let me just. And then I quickly went in there and I like got a Lysol wipe out and I like did the
Clorox
toilet bowl
wipe.
Real quick. And then I did the sink real quick because like, I don't want to be gross.
You know what? I learned that tip from Real Simple once. It was like, this is years ago. I said like, if company comes over unexpectedly and it was like the 2 minute clean, it was basically just Windex the bathroom mirror.
I didn't do the mirror.
No, but if you do that, it looks like totally fresh and new. And then like basically go over the surfaces with a wipe and like maybe swipe up any hair.
I almost wanted to say to her, I have like mineral rich water or whatever. So sometimes my toilet looks like it has like orange staining inside the white porcelain.
Yeah.
And I would be like, it's not duty. It's the minerals in the water. And I was like, Jen, she's not even looking. She wants to do your lashes. Why are you worried about
it? It's not duty.
This is why I worry about having people in my house. I don't know.
Nobody thinks that you have duty in your
It doesn't. I want them to be bleached white. And I put the mineral thing in and everything. And it turns white for like 2 days. And then my toilet looks peach inside.
Jen, your apartment is what, like 10 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. My toilet is the original toilet from our building, and it's over 100 years old.
You're lying to me.
I'm not joking. We found out
there's
from
not
our
that
super.
Toilet is not 100
yes,
years old.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
How many people have gone on?
When I think about it, I want to like throw myself out the window
and never have over a Glam Squad or Lash Pro again.
No, they've come over. They've used. They've. And, you know, I haven't gotten any like.
I love how my thing on
bathroom.
Lash lifting and home beauty treatments turned into what's the state of your toilet.
It's part of the whole.
It is part
the
of the whole
thing. But anyway, so you had the person in your house. Did you offer them a glass of water?
I offered her water and an Orangina, which is what I always offer the guests.
Okay, nice.
Or no,
nice.
The San Pellegrino orange one.
Very nice. Did she accept?
She didn't. She was fine. It was all good. She did an amazing job. And I don't know. I think I would do it again because I realized having them in my home is way less invasive than having them come to the office, truly.
Oh, yeah. That's people have Glam Squad to their office. I'm like, I want your job.
And even if I'm a beauty director and technically I was doing research, this was part of the job, you can't justify that.
No, no.
So anyway, what do you think of my lashes?
I mean, when I saw you, I said, you look beautiful. I didn't know what was going on.
I have zero makeup on.
You look awesome.
You don't need mascara or lash curler for like 3 months.
Do they dye your lashes too?
They tinted them. And she said that mine took the color really well. So they're like a lot darker now.
Mm.
I think that's because they're actually gray. But she didn't realize that because she was like 12. But anyway, she's not 12. She was great. Anyway, Megan Beck, I'm gonna tag her on Instagram when I put up a picture of it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You'll know know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, Tiff and I are here with Gucci Westman, the celebrity and editorial makeup artist synonymous with dewy, fresh skin and a cool, fashion-y approach to beauty. So she's also the founder of the new luxury makeup line, Westman Atelier. Welcome, Gucci.
Thank you. This is so cool. Everybody freaked out when I got asked to do this. They were like, fat mascara. Oh my God, it's like the best one.
Oh, that makes us feel great. Yeah. Thank you. I'm a fan. So I have to start off. Gucci Westman, it sounds like your name is just like destined for fabulosity. Is Gucci your real name?
No, it's not actually. So does that make me less destined?
No. You've grown into it, I guess. Well, what's the deal?
It is. I mean, it does feel like my real name in the sense that it's been my name since I was about two.
Oh, wow. And okay, you own it long enough.
You know, it has nothing to do with any trends or thank God for that. But I actually was born with the name Chelsea. And then we moved into an ashram when I was 2 years old, a Kundalini ashram in California. And you get given names at the ashram. And my given name was Guru Charan, which means he who sits at the lotus feet of the guru. Not even she, but he.
Wow.
And it was a nickname that a friend of my parents gave me. And he named his daughter Googie.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the ashram.
I got Gucci. I think I scored.
So what was it like? I mean, this is such a big, vague question, but most people did not grow up on an ashram. Were your parents very into like yoga or spirituality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad to this day does. He wakes up at 5 a.m. every day and meditates and does yoga. He worked with the Maharishi to spread TM.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's
pretty
cool.
Do you do TM?
Yeah, I do.
All right, I'm not going to ask you what your word is, but I hear you're given a word, right?
I didn't actually, this sounds so ignorant, but I didn't realize because I grew up with my dad always meditating in the backyard, you know, and he built a teepee. We actually lived in Sweden from 10 to 25.
Oh, wow.
Because my dad is Swedish and he built this teepee in the back of our, you know, garden, and he would sit there for hours, and I had no idea, you know, what style of meditation. I had no interest, of course. Mm-hmm. I was too self-absorbed being, you know, a teenager and everything. And he asked me maybe 5 years ago if I was meditating, and I said yeah, and he said, oh, okay, I can tell. And I was like, oh, that's good. I just actually took a TM course. And he said, oh, that's great. What do you think? And I said, I really like it. I think it's, you know, it's really sort of conducive to people who are a little bit busier and a little bit, you know, filled with more thoughts and anxiety maybe. And I asked, so what is your meditation you do? I've never asked that.
And TM is, just for anyone who doesn't know, is transcendental meditation.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, keep going.
So he said, oh, I do TM. And I was like, you do? And I was like, that's the meditation you practice? And he said, yes. And I actually worked with the Maharishi to spread TM. And I said, do you have a mantra? And he said, I have three. So I was
How
like,
How did he get the extra two?
He's been doing it for so long.
That's fascinating.
I don't know. He does it for a long time. And he also has been doing it for so many years.
That's so funny. So assuming you said you've been taking like lessons, like you were paying someone for TM.
To teach me and my dad.
But your dad just spread TM all over the world.
Yeah. Well, not all over the world. It was, I think, it was from India, Sweden or something, LA. I can't remember exactly. I was just so shocked that I didn't remember the details.
very carefully.
That is, I have to tell you, we've done a lot of interviews I haven't heard about, you know, with people coming from different backgrounds. Yeah. And, you know, it's nice because they're usually surprising. They're usually very different than, you know, what you think.
Yeah.
But this one I haven't heard.
That's a little, I know it's, I wanted to, you know, keep you a little bit like on your toes today.
A friend of mine is always telling me I should do TM.
Yeah.
And like, obviously you'd recommend it, but why, just for our listeners, why might they want to?
I think they actually modified it according to my dad in later years, so it would be easier for people who are very busy to incorporate into their lives. And the idea is that you basically don't kind of judge yourself or your thoughts, but you have this mantra. It's a 20-minute session in the morning and then the afternoon. And it's basically kind of like your stream of consciousness will start coming up to the surface. And it's basically you're releasing stress.
It's interesting you said that he noticed that you had been...
I know.
Yeah, that you can really tell like a visible, like visceral benefit from it.
Yeah, I don't want to go on too long about this, but my husband had also, he was trained in TM. He did the course and he lies down when we meditate in the morning, and I sit up and he lies down. And I asked him the first time, I was like, you're supposed to sit up. How come you're not sitting up? And he said, oh, Bob Roth, who taught him, who's really pretty known in TM, he said he didn't have to, that he could lie down if he wanted to. And also at the end when David was trying to pay, he said, oh, no, you have a beautiful soul. You don't have to pay. This is my treat to you.
Oh, wow.
I know. Okay. I was like, you didn't do that to me.
I don't know if I'd have the same pull with Bob.
Yeah.
So let's shift to beauty for a moment.
Yes.
You did go to beauty school, right? Didn't you go to like a proper beauty school?
Not a beauty school per se.
Cosmetology.
I went to a really, really fantastic makeup school in Paris.
Okay.
And the reason, actually, I thought I was going to be a translator or a, you know, a professional show jumper.
What's a show jumper? Oh, like
riding.
Riding
horses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was an au pair when I was 18 years old in Switzerland. And I got really into beauty, actually, at that point. Before, I was also interested. But at that point, she brought me to the woman, the mother and the family brought me to fashion shows and really got me sort of kind of crazy about the romance of these, you know, this translation of these designers' looks and everything and how powerful it was.
Was this totally new to you? Was it like opening up a whole window?
Completely
new. So imagine
new.
This is like kind of a posh family or at least like artsy.
They were pretty posh, yeah. Her parents were quite, you know, successful family in this little town in Switzerland in Neuchâtel. And she started, this was what sealed the deal. She started giving me boxes and boxes of makeup because everybody sent her so much and she didn't wear any. So she just gave it to me. And I was like, And so I became very mesmerized and I said, you know, I think I may want to go to makeup school. But if I'm not good, I'd rather do it in French so I don't waste my time because I don't know if I'm going to be good enough.
Wait, why would you want to do it in French?
Because I went to Switzerland to be
an au pair
for my French.
Okay, got it.
I didn't express that. But I wanted to be a translator, I thought, at some point. So I was working on my languages. I studied languages in school. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, at least, you know, if I'm not good at makeup, I wouldn't have wasted my time because it's in French.
Totally.
So I ended up going to that school, not at the time I was, you know, I thought. I ended up going maybe 4 years later. I had a little break, went back to Sweden, traveled a bit, and then I went.
Okay. So what did you learn about, a lot of the guests that we have, everyone has a different story, but I'm fascinated by so many of the makeup artists there, and even hairstylists too, they're self-taught. Mm-hmm. You are, you know, formally trained. Do you feel like there's a difference or do you feel, what did that give to you?
I mean, I think that, you know, to be honest, it gives you a bit of a foundation. At the end of the day, when you're an artist, however, it's all about the amount of time you put in, the experiences you have, and learning from your mistakes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It really is, because there's so much that's not applied in the classroom, you know, that you would never experience on a shoot.
Right.
You know,
right,
you, right. They don't really, there's no synergy between the two in some ways. You can't just think, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to create? Look number five?
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, it's not really like that for a Vogue shoot or something like that. It's more intuitive. You have to have a certain amount of creative flow.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to be very sensitive to the dynamics of everybody involved.
Completely.
And know your place and know when you need to step forward and when you need to step back and so many things.
That you can't learn in the classroom.
No. Yeah. I'm grateful that I did it. And it was a really interesting experience. And I think that something there was a bit of a catalyst and a drive for me, because I remember one day, it was a big school, actually, and a lot of the students were Asian. A lot of, you know, boys and girls, or, you know, both sexes.
Mm-hmm.
And one day one of the teachers said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, this is an industry for homosexual men.
Wow.
And I just thought, I was like, did I understand that correctly?
Mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
French, you know, maybe I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was what she said. And that sort of stuck with me and put a little fire in my belly. And I thought, really, that's kind of a generalization. There's some, you know, maybe a little bit of truth to it. At some point there was, or there, but I don't.
But not right now. No,
no,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it's, you know.
Well, that's encouraging for everyone. But I also wondered, you know, we have a lot of listeners in the show who are budding makeup artists.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they need to go to school?
Because no,
they don't. That's, again, more reassurance. Because
no,
we get DMs about that all the time.
I don't
think
so.
Which is the best
so,
makeup school.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary, especially not now with all the social outlets and
mm-hmm,
all of these
mm-hmm.
platforms that showcase such detailed work and how empowering it is for people to try things on themselves, make mistakes on themselves, try. And actually, the best thing about makeup school, I think, weirdly, was learning how people's fingers, how it feels on your skin, and how to be, you know, a
being
little
on the
bit
other foot. Okay.
Aware of people touching you and your space and somebody else's space, you know?
Now, once you started working, I understand that you started working in films, right?
I did, yeah. I actually went to a really bad makeup school after the really great makeup school.
Uh-huh.
It was a 10-week program. After 2 weeks, they asked me to teach at the school, which...
2 weeks?
Yeah. Also, the advice they gave us, they were like, okay, you need a tackle box, a fish tackle box, and a director's chair and a light. Those
like
were
a skit.
Exactly. Those were the things that they advised us to buy as budding makeup artists. I mean, you're kind of on your own and you're
yeah.
like, what do I do? They said, oh, you know, check out the Hollywood Reporter and look for ads. And it was really...
It's frightening.
There was absolutely no value to any of that program. And I say it all the time because I would never want anyone to waste money on it.
But then, so you start working in films
so,
like right around that time?
Well,
it
was a little bit of a process. I actually didn't have any work for a while. And I did, you know, some deferred payment
mm-hmm.
type of American Film Institute projects that I did, like I did the continuity, I did the hair, I did the makeup, mm-hmm. I did the styling, I did the craft service for free.
Wow.
And it's all about the experience in my mind. And I actually never remember getting paid very much the first few years of my career, and that was never my objective, to earn tons of money. I thought, I need the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter the payment. And also, when I started assisting people, I was too shy to ask about the money, and
yeah.
I thought that maybe the agent would just pay me, or, you know, and I just never asked, so I never got paid. And I didn't know that how that really worked. During, you know, the first couple of months, I didn't really have any work at all that was paying. And I remember allowing myself one latte per week. And, you know, we lived in this kind of like government assist housing, because the two girls I was living with, their previous home was destroyed in the earthquake. So they found something for $300.
Wow.
So we, two of us, shared a room. The other girl always got the biggest bedroom, who was alone. And then we always had like 10 other people staying with us. and no one ever wanted to buy toilet paper. It was like
it was like an artist colony.
Yeah, it was so fun though. But then I met a stylist named Casey Storm, and he said, "Oh, you have to meet my friend Spike Jones."
Oh my gosh!
And I was like, "Yeah, I would love to meet him." I didn't really know exactly
what was he working on around that time.
He was doing mostly music videos and really great Nike and Levi's commercials. And so I met with him in a room. I remember I was kind of nervous, and he was just like sitting and nodding his head and saying like, cool, cool. It's exactly actually how you would imagine
him to
be.
That's how I picture him being.
Yeah.
Just like a groovy dude.
Yeah. So he really didn't say that much, and I didn't really think that it went that well because he didn't ask me anything specific or of significance, I thought. And then next thing I knew, he asked me to do everything for years.
What kind of projects with Spike were you working on? Like what kind of movies?
I did
commercials, videos.
I did a lot of commercials, a lot of videos. I mean, it was so fun.
So how did
I did Being John Malkovich.
Oh, well,
he had to convince me to do that.
I mean, that's like you need your PhD in makeup artistry to do that. Making I haven't seen it like 10 years. Like Cameron Diaz, like old, but she looked like a hot mess in that movie.
Yeah, she did. We did.
How do you make someone that gorgeous look that?
Well, we all did some research, and we wanted it to. It was supposed to take place in New Jersey, and we did some research, and we went to some malls in New Jersey, and we all came back.
I'm from New Jersey,
ideas.
And I can say we've got a lot of material for you, a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, we found some good looks. Yeah. So, and that was actually just prior to that, I had done Buffalo 66.
Oh my God, Christina Ricci's eyeliner in that.
Yeah, the blue eyeshadow.
Yes.
And the silver sparkles. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. So,
exactly. Eyeshadow, excuse me.
Yeah.
Wow,
no, but she had black eyeliner, but the blue shadow was actually, I did an interview about that the other day, which is so weird because it's so long ago. But I did that first, and that was a pretty traumatic experience for a lot of people involved in that movie. And
the making of the movie.
Yeah, it was tough. It was
okay.
Tough. But I'm great. I'm happy that I did it in the end.
People love that movie.
Yeah.
And that look is very iconic. So how did you parlay all of this into fashion? Like, tell us about, you know, what I think of Gucci Westman. I do think of, you know, high fashion editorial makeup.
So when I turned, just before I turned 30, I decided I didn't want to live in LA anymore. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just work with actresses and do movies and things like that. It wasn't for me. I felt that it was a little bit insular focused, and I wanted to explore. And I actually still remembered going to fashion shows in Paris. And I still felt that kind of, I just want to see if, you know, there's a little something in me, a little twinkle that's making me want to explore that. And I had no, obviously, idea how it was going to go. Moving to New York, I went out on a whim. And I got an apartment in the East Village with Tatiana Petites, you know, the model.
Oh, the model. Mm-hmm. So were you guys buddies from before?
Yeah. So we shared an apartment on the fourth floor.
She was in the George Michael Freedom video
for
those who just want to have a gander at Tatiana.
Yes, okay. She was. And we lived on the fourth floor walk-up. It was such a dump. And and she had a bad back, so she made me carry all her stuff on. I used to actually pay people outside to help me carry my bag up.
Wow.
Because my makeup bag.
Your kit?
Yeah.
Of four flights of stairs?
Yeah.
In New York.
So I came to New York not really knowing what the outcome was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I had worked actually a bit with Bruce Weber and Annie Leibovitz in L.A. so that I had a little bit of an introduction. We had done Italian Vogue, and I did some things with Vanity Fair with Annie. And I ended up doing a cover of Vanity Fair with her.
Who was on the cover?
It was the athletes for the Olympics.
Okay, yeah.
So that was in the 90s, and she canceled. I was supposed to do special effects for a mountain biker, and I had all this different type of mud prepared, and I was going to show her, you know, I showed her all of what I had prepared, and she I think she was, like, kind of impressed, so she canceled the other makeup artist, and I did everyone. And
do you think it was because you prepared the mud? You went the
extra
mile?
Yeah, I really went. That's all I ever wanted to do was think ahead. Think ahead of, like, what would that next move be?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how can I not become replaceable? Those were you know, because we all are very replaceable.
Do you still, I mean, I know that you, and we're going to talk about Westman in a bit, but, you know, when you were working right before you started focusing on Westman, are you still like that? Like, you're still bringing weird things to the table? Like not mud, but it's interesting. I kind of feel like a lot of makeup artists who are at your stature, they can come in, put on like a bomb, put on, you know, a brow gel, and it's like, genius. Do you feel, I'm not naming names, but I think like there is a kind of, you're a celebrity. You are, you know, so I would think you wouldn't have to work that hard all the time.
Well, I think you're,
you know what
you're
I mean.
Always actually, but you're always, I think in this industry especially, you're always in a gray area when it comes to your success and the knowledge of success. Like, what is success? You know, because
yeah,
I think it's...
That's a bigger question.
I think it's easy to get to the top. I don't know how easy it is to stay there. And, you know, that's the tricky part. That's where you have to sacrifice a lot of family time, a lot of, you know, a lot of things come into to play. And it's challenging, you know. You always... It's a finicky, fickle business.
Like juggling, it's funny you mentioned the family time. Like, you know, you have a family, you were doing all these celebrities. I'm sure you were traveling a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, this, like,
yeah.
And to probably, I mean, I know you enjoy it, but maintain where you were. And then I remember you took like a minute and you were working with brands, right?
Yeah,
like Lancôme,
yeah.
Revlon. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I during my like super, super busiest time, I got called by Lancôme and they wanted me to be their creative director. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But I wasn't that excited because what excited me the most at that point was creating editorial images.
And at this point, you're working with everyone,
yeah,
right? You're
everyone.
In Vogue every single month.
Yeah. I mean, there's about a year where I had almost every single cover of Vogue. For it was almost, maybe it was like 9 months or something like
and
that.
And do you attest that to your aesthetic or that Anna really liked you or the way you worked with, you know, talent? What sort of your...
I think Grace Coddington, I owe her most of that actually, because we did one particular shoot that she just adored. And she then after the shoot said to me, I didn't even think she liked me, to be honest. I had no idea. And she... We were all traveling from an airport together. We were in LA, but I was at a different terminal. Mm-hmm. And she got out of the van, and I thought she was just going to say, you know, see ya, beat it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she said, you know, I haven't seen talent like that since Pat McGrath, since I discovered her. And yeah, and I want you to be on my part of my team, you and Julianne Dees. And I was like, what? And then I was speechless. I couldn't even, you know, I just thought, I didn't even know if she
liked
me. It's
a career changer.
I swear on my life.
Yeah.
And then.
Was she just kind of aloof? Like, was she like aloof fashion person?
She's a little tough.
She's not warm and fuzzy.
No.
Okay.
She's not, there's nothing, there's nothing fake about her. She's very direct and very, but she's not that forward coming in the moment. She takes her time and does it in her own way. But she. That was on a Friday, and on the Monday I had probably 10 Vogue options with all the other editors, and
wow,
and it was you know,
overnight career changer.
Yeah, pretty much. And I worked with Grace, with everybody, with Steven Meisel, with Matt and Marcus, with everybody I ever could have dreamt of.
So obviously this is keeping you really busy, and then you get the call from Lancôme. You did take the job.
I did take the job, and it was a really wonderful, very inspiring, empowering experience. But I still felt that it was taking me away from my editorial work. I did inevitably miss some covers and things like that. I had it in my contract that if I had a Vogue cover or a certain job of a certain stature, that I was able to reschedule the Lancôme date.
Okay.
And they were okay with that, which was great. And they were such a lovely place to sort of L'Oreal Lancôme. That it was really, really wonderful. I was so inspired. the entire time. They really respect artistry.
Mm-hmm. And then you went to Revlon. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like, you know, back to back. But what was that like? Because you are such a luxury person with just your, you know, CV. And of course, the line that you have now, it's so interesting that you've lent your talents to Revlon.
Yeah.
What was the impetus there?
Well,
I mean, I'm sure they made you a good offer, but.
Yeah, well, I left Lancome. Actually, it was mostly because I couldn't travel so much anymore. My contract was out of Paris, and I had one child. I was pregnant with the next, and I was just remembering being in a meeting and them telling me I was going to India, and they didn't know I was pregnant yet. And then I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so complicated. And then I decided I had to just, you know, maybe restructure my work and do more editorial and not travel as much and do, you know, have it be so focused on overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was about a week. I didn't have anything. And I was like remembering walking around the West Village thinking, oh, my God, what did I do?
Mm.
Was that the right move? And then Revlon called and that was a kind of a contract I couldn't really turn down. And it was very different, you know, it was...
Yeah, like, what worked from the Revlon thing? I remember one palette. Was it Skin Lights? Did you do a Skin Lights thing
or no? I did these Illuminance palettes. I did one called Not Just Nudes that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't... I didn't have, you know, the same... It was just a different... With Lancome, I got to do exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And I never had to compromise. They let me decide. I was in control of so many things. And Revlon, they actually hadn't ever had experience with a makeup artist as creative director before, mm-hmm. so they didn't really know how to use me to my fullest potential.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know how I love doing press. I genuinely love talking to people about things that I'm passionate about and sharing stories and sharing information. So they didn't, it took them a really long time to sort of understand how to use me.
Yeah, and understand what you do and what you can do.
Yeah, so it was a different type of experience because it was almost as if I was educating them for part of the time. You know, on do this, you can do this with me. I was almost like I was a doll or something.
Yeah.
So, but I'm, you know, I think that that experience was really valuable also because it's a different market. You know, the mass market is very different. And it's a different customer.
In a nutshell, how is the mass market different? Because I feel like women shop high low, men too, shop high low now. So I know it was a few years ago, but what was the key difference that you recognized?
I think there's a different, they just look for, there's a different type of experience. You know, it's mm-hmm. not necessarily the feeling of, the validation of holding something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that makes you feel a certain way. It's that's maybe coming from somewhere else in, you know, in their kind of idea. I think maybe that it's just different priorities,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
because I shop high low too. I love, you know, pharmacies. I think it's, you can find the greatest thing in pharmacies. But at the same time, I love holding a nice object and I love how it makes me feel.
Right. It's exactly. It's not just the payoff of the color. I mean, that's part of it too, but you covet the object. It's mm-hmm. like a fetish object.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the mass customer has maybe certain things that she really wants to spend her money on. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a very savvy customer, mm-hmm. you know, you know, you can also certainly play around more. You can get more for your money.
Yeah. Well, Westman Atelier is definitely more of the object moment. So why did you decide to create Westman Atelier?
I love product development. I love products. I love sharing information. And it's actually, I'm happy you asked me about my name because I was going to say that, you know, since I had all of this experience with other companies and I was fortunate enough to work with their labs quite intimately, yeah. especially with Lancome, I was with their labs outside of Paris every visit, every few weeks. I was always there working with them so closely. We went for dinner with the chemist. It was very sort of hands-on.
It was a partnership.
It was a partnership, and I learned so much. It was so rewarding. And for me, I always wanted to create my own brand, and I needed to sort of identify what that was going to be. And initially, I thought, I have to do an organic line. You know,
how long have you been thinking about this? Like, how long has this been germinating?
For so long.
Really?
Yeah, but there's so much that during the ideology of a brand creation, there's so much more that is involved than you think. Because when you start getting into the minutia, there's nothing that can be sort of surfacey. But I was just going to say that the reason I brought up my name thing because it's very natural that I would create a brand that was so focused on ingredients and active ingredients and the efficacy of the ingredients and the clean idea. It all comes from my upbringing because we grew up vegetarian, always learning so much about ingredients and what are we eating? What is that? My parents made their own cheese, their own butter.
Their own cheese? Wow.
Yeah. So it's not a trend for me. It's very sort of an extension of my life. You know?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, like what does clean mean? And I feel like a lot of brands are just kind of adopting that word and, you know.
It's a trend.
It is a trend. But when there are brands and people who actually have been doing, I mean, listen, if you want to go clean overnight, I don't think there's nothing wrong with suddenly making an improvement in your life or getting more conscious. But conscious, that's always stressing me up.
Yeah.
But I do think it's so interesting that clean is now this buzzword. Now, I know that Tiff had some questions, too. We were talking about your line for a while.
Can we make this session an hour long instead? I love that idea.
So, Tiff, we were talking about creating the line. What did you
want to talk about? Westman, what was that process like for you? I imagine as a makeup artist, you know how product works. You've handled a lot of different brands before. So what was the process like creating your own brand and your own
products? The process initially was a little bit slow, I'm not going to lie. And I remember my husband said, you need an office. So we get an office in Chelsea that actually Grace Coddington took over for me. And he said, ideas, everything's going to come to you in the office. And I remember sitting there going.
Why did he think it would come to you in the office? Like versus
at home? He just thought I would be able to kind of process everything, you know, in this space that was calm and surrounded with things that I put there for inspiration. And it was, I remember kind of being torn between starting with skincare or makeup because I always have felt so strongly about skincare. Mm-hmm. And I remember Bobby Brown saying to me, what are you crazy? You have to start with makeup. And you know, you're known for makeup. And I thought, you know, you're actually right. And I decided to hone in on this idea of the skin, you know, and me being, which also used to annoy me as when people would call me for interviews and say, you're mostly known for this beautiful skin.
Uh-oh, and it used to strike that question.
No, it's good.
But you took that and you created your own brand.
Yes, exactly. I decided, I'm just going to just hone in on the skin thing. And I'm going to extend this kind of idea that I've had forever of amplifying the skin of these women that I work with, actresses, models, and share that kind of journey and how do people do that on themselves. And it's edited, it's simple, it's intuitive. And I decided then I would start with a complexion system.
Mm-hmm. And, what's the complexion system?
Well, I wanted to create a lineup of an edited group of products that you need to sort of create a beautiful complexion. And then you can obviously play after that, but these are things for complexion and to create this kind of skin that I do on Jennifer Aniston and all of these people over the years, and that are very simple and not complicated, and it's real women products. It's like you use on the go. And I have rosacea, and this is a big part of our brand that I think that sets us apart. You know, not only did I feel that there was a void in the market between, you know, there was a gap between luxury and natural, and I felt that I could bridge that gap. I felt like nobody's doing anything that speaks to luxury and incorporates natural ingredients or a natural concept or a clean concept. So I decided that was going to be one. then I also wanted to focus on active ingredients being at efficacy levels instead of marketing levels. And I learned from our labs that we work with that a lot of brands use active ingredients at marketing levels. So they can state...
What does that mean?
It means that we're not being entirely honest.
So they'll put... tell me if I'm right here. Like, I own my own company and I'm like, okay, this has peptides and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't have enough of those things to actually make a difference. It's just a little bit so that I can put on the tin.
In some cases, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You look so upset right now. You look like you're doing very serious news. You're like nodding like, yes.
Because I was shocked.
Eyes are closed.
Yeah, I was shocked when our labs shared that information. I was like, no way. Are you kidding? And obviously it costs a lot more money to include these active ingredients at efficacy levels. But I want to be as transparent as I possibly can in this journey and as honest as I can. And I have this rosacea and I want something. And I know many people suffer from skin sensitivities and issues. And I want to include ingredients that will actually help the health of your skin and not simply color. I want to correct and soothe and heal. And I think we all deserve more from our products, you know? And I'm really doing the best that I can with the resources that we have today. Mm-hmm. And I can never have – the performance has always have to be – it has to be paramount. That's always the bottom line, that it can't be, you know, like some of the organic lines or products that I've tried. You know, they're pretty when you put them on and then you leave the house and you come back and you're like, wait, where did all my makeup go?
Yeah.
And it's suddenly gone.
They don't have payoff.
Well, or the lasting power. I needed to be able to trust and rely on the results, you know?
I think you definitely got that with your brand. And you've also mentioned that it's very edited. Mm-hmm. Is that part of the reason you only have 3 brushes? And tell me a little about your brushes.
More
I know they're pretty special.
Yeah, the brushes. I'm in love with the brushes. As a young makeup artist, I used to always save my money and buy Shu Uemura brushes. Mm-hmm. And back then, I used to buy the Sable brushes because I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And now I would
The Sable is not cruelty-free. It's quite cruel.
Yeah, so I would never, ever participate in any of that ever again. I feel bad still that I, you know, but now I'm making up for it because our brushes are sustainably made by the oldest brush maker in Japan. And they're a blend of nylon and synthetic fibers, which is the best kind of option that you can have it in my mind, in my opinion. And I always just look to myself for my own judgment because I'm a pretty harsh critic.
And that's a really great story behind that too, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dream to work with Hakuhodo, who makes our brushes, because they make the most beautiful brushes. They come when we get our brush samples, they come with a little sticker and a handwritten note.
Oh my gosh.
It's so special. I mean, we lose money on our brushes daily because they're so expensive to make, but I don't care.
So
I think
that's the thing to buy.
Yeah, that's the thing to buy.
Get yourself a Westman brush.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
So let's talk a little bit about your makeup tips. I've heard that you're known to use multiple shades of foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason why, and why do you do that?
As I think the way I like to see skin is with a little bit more dimension and not looking like it's one tone, because then you immediately, it's a giveaway that it's all foundation.
Right.
But if you incorporate multiple shades, then you can kind of trick people a little bit and it can feel like it's more skin-like. So it's almost like amplifying your skin, maintaining a little bit of the integrity of your own skin whilst evening it out, but in more of a dimension kind of concept.
So which colors would you just take the two, like your color and then one lighter, or your color and then one darker, or the two that kind of are?
I mean, I've really incorporated my makeup artist philosophy when I do that. So when I do makeup on people, I usually use 2 to 3 shades.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of just how I've always done makeup. I started doing makeup with using sticks, and I find them very easy, very malleable, and I like also fluid, but it has to be really good. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like as a starting point, I wanted to begin with sticks because that was how I learned to do makeup. I also find that you get a little bit of excess sometimes with the fluid, and I wanted everything to be like precise to begin with. But I use sometimes if I want a little bit of a warmer finish, I might use we have, you know, Roman numerals or mm-hmm. they're numbered. And for myself, I'll do maybe a 2 and a 4 because I want a bit of warmth. But I use the 2 around my kind of under eye area, you know, right. this kind of triangle in the yeah. middle of your face.
Yeah, and then, the upside down triangle.
And then but not precisely.
Yeah.
And then I patch in the deeper shade around the perimeter of my face. And then I work them together.
Oh, cool.
It's very
That's a great
intuitive.
Tip. Yeah.
And it's not – doesn't look like you're sort of caked in mm-hmm. in foundation.
I'm willing to try that.
It's really not complicated. It's very – it's just consider one as your concealer and one as your, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So what for you is the most important step in your beauty routine, like apart from foundation, or what's the most underestimated step that we should probably start including?
The most underestimated step, I think it's really taking the time to prepare your skin before you actually, I mean, it's your canvas, you know, your face. And I do think when you spend extra time and you exfoliate, you do a mask, you do consistent facials, the quality of your skin is still going to be there,
right?
You know, underneath everything else.
You don't need as much makeup.
Yeah. So I prefer to just kind of like really treat your skin and take care of it, you know, as much as you can. And I do, I totally sympathize with people who have skin issues because I have major skin issues. So I by no means have great skin, but I can fake it a little bit more.
With great skincare and great makeup.
Yeah, I mean, I try, but I do also, you know, regularly have facials. And I have,
Where
I do my own.
Where do you go for facials?
I go to a few people. I have an amazing, amazing woman who I love, who actually is in London. But when she comes here, I see her. She does fascia release, which is a different kind of concept.
What's her name?
Anastasia.
Oh, okay.
You've got to talk to
okay.
her. I mean,
fascia release,
she just gives you a
very
facelift.
Relaxing. Oh, wow.
It blows your mind.
Does she work out of a studio in New York when she comes?
No, she usually has a hotel room or something, okay. so you just go to her. But mm-hmm. I met her through Gwyneth Paltrow because she was doing her before her wedding.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And we were both staying in the same house mm-hmm. and before her wedding. So she gave me a treatment, and I was like, oh, my God. And my face, I looked 20 years younger, I swear. I was like, wow. What did you do?
I'm convinced.
Yeah. So she does, but she doesn't do things like extractions, but yeah. she does so much lifting and tightening. And
well, Gwyneth really knows her stuff.
Exactly. So yeah, if Gwyneth yeah. is using her every day or whenever, you know, not every day, but. And then I also love Danuta at mm-hmm. Rescue Spa. And Georgia Louise.
God, oh,
is
yeah.
a long term. I haven't been to Joanna
Czech
yet.
Yeah.
I haven't had the pleasure yet, but I've heard great things.
So let's talk about what you, like, you know, you said you love great skincare, great facials. We know you use your line, but what are like some of the products you use every day in your life? Whether skincare or, you know, hair
okay.
care, what are your must haves?
I'm
the Gucci edit.
Yeah. I'm really into also supplements. I think that they make a big difference if you're kind of responding to what your body needs and is calling for. Mm-hmm. I think you can see a difference a little bit in just your mood and your overall brightness.
Is there a supplement you like?
I mean, I actually have quite a few supplements I'm taking at the moment that I get from a doctor that I see in LA who's mm-hmm. like a hormone specialist. Mm-hmm. But I really like Wellco has this hormone supplement that I put in. It's called Hormonal Libido, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a powder and it tastes nice. And I put it in my shake in mm-hmm. the morning. It's also a Wellco. And I never used to like shakes.
Yeah.
But I love this Peruvian chocolate.
Oh, God, that sounds delicious.
I know, and it's so good. And I think I put so many frozen blueberries in it that it tastes, like, really refreshing.
That sounds, like, very decadent, but it's a nutritional hormone shake.
Yes, and I put Moon Juice has a mushroom powder that I put in the shake.
Collagen powder?
It's called, it's actually called I think mushroom.
We'll
it's in a big
it's in the jar.
Glass.
It's in the glass jar. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll put it all on our blog so people can shop the Gucci edit.
I mean, I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah.
And then I do
that
the
does
Moon
not have a bad
probiotic.
Taste at all.
No. So I put and I use the a bit of you know a lot of the Moon Juice probiotic in my
mm-hmm,
shake.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also like the Tokos that's really great for connective tissue.
Okay.
And joint support.
It's called
Tocos.
Okay.
And that's, I think it's by Sun Potion.
Okay. Yeah.
Is
yeah.
the brand. So those are things that I kind of like put in my shake
mm-hmm.
and almond butter. I use a really nice.
And you notice a difference.
Yeah. I
you
just
really
feel
do?
Like I feel more energetic and cleaner and kind of like I feel hungry when I should feel hungry and mm-hmm. not, you know.
Not like scavenging for snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, oh, it's 1 o'clock. I should be a little. I'm hungry now. I'm starving now, actually.
So what about skincare?
So
what
skincare.
What are some of your skincare products
well,
you love?
Well, it's interesting. So people send me things to try. And so I don't end up getting. I try something. I love trying things. But then I don't usually stick with it unless I feel really
mm-hmm.
some type of emotional connection. I regularly use a brand now that I like a lot called Subtle Energies. It's Australian. I really like that. I like Eminence.
Mm-hmm.
It has a really nice, gentle exfoliant that is a powder. It's like a strawberry rhubarb dermafoliant. Lactic acid. I like a lot of sheet masks, I have to say. I've alternate. I mean, I like the SK2 one. I like a biocellulose one by Suwasu. I like, what else do I try to do masks, you know, once a week.
Okay.
And I use my home devices also.
Oh, you are your device girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if
Which
I don't
one?
Go for facials, I have a Japanese one called Rantanya that is microcurrent and LED light.
So you're at home just like watching TV doing this?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So I do it like maybe once
yeah,
a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I have Georgia Louise also has like a mask, and sometimes I'll alternate between that one and that one, and it helps with the redness.
Very cool.
It calms down the redness. I also like Augustinus Bader, the rich cream.
Oh, that has so much hype right now.
I mean,
getting a lot of people. They want to know. So at least we know that you like it.
I do like it.
Like
and
customer.
I really am interested in the science behind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty significant.
And we're going to talk about that on the podcast soon.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. The Augustus. I can never say his
Augustinus.
The name. Augustinus.
Augustinus
Bader. Yeah.
Bader.
Yes.
Wait, but I'm sure I like some. I like pie for an oil cleanser.
Mm-hmm. PAI.
Mm-hmm. And I like these Volition apple cider vinegar wipes that are nice because it makes my face feel like it's burning, like the Biologique Recherche P50
yeah.
that you can't, I can't. And then what else do I love? I mean, I'm obsessed with skincare. I like Grown Alchemist Body.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to Clean Market and doing infrared and cryo. And I love doing the vitamin drips
okay.
once in a while. I
so
think
you really are. I mean, you grew up in like a wellness. I mean, I know you weren't getting vitamin drips at the ashram, but
mm-hmm.
like you grew up in a wellness space.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're like talking
I like
the talk.
Calm Pen.
Oh, like a Bebo Calm Pen?
A Dosist.
Okay. Oh, I don't know Dosist. Okay.
Dosist vibrates when you have one.
Like a CBD thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
No,
it's a natural thing. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like I'm obsessed with, because it does like, actually make you feel better. I don't eat meat. I'm having a little bit of fish now, but I think I might cut that
might
out
cut
pretty
again.
Soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And I make my own almond milk. I make my own coconut milk.
I make. You lost me at the shake. I was like, that looks like a lot of stuff to put in the shake. That looks like it takes 10, 15
no,
minutes
to do. No, it doesn't take long, and it tastes so much better, and you know exactly what's in it. There's no weird
I
stuff.
Want someone to
it's
make
all
it
about
for
ingredients
me.
For
I,
you.
I know.
Yeah, it really is. I want to know what's
yeah,
in everything,
yeah.
and I think we all deserve better.
Well, that is a good note to end on. Gucci, thank you so much. I think we have a shopping list. Tiffany's been writing down everything
yeah.
you said. head to the blog to get your Gucci approved everything. And thank you so much for coming by.
Oh God, thank you so much for having me. I mean, I really respect you girls, and it's so nice to have these kind of chats. You know, I can tell I could just keep talking.
No, we need longer next time. Oh my God, Gucci, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to hear it.
It's time to raise a wand. Jen in the stewed.
I'm in the stewed. I'm raising a wand.
And she brought snacks.
I did. Gummy peaches.
So good.
Raise a wand of gummy peaches.
That's your bonus, raise a wand.
Thank you. I'm about to raise a wand to this, and I literally just realized there was a sharpener in it that this whole time
I've
didn't
know. What is that?
This is Thrive Cosmetics. And the name of this product is Brilliant Eye Brightener.
Isn't it Cause, like Cosmetics?
I really didn't want to go there because I really can't stand the name of the brand itself.
Okay.
But I love the product. Thrive Cosmetics, they give a large portion of, and it's a wonderful, wonderful concept. And I actually really dig the founder. I met her on the Mary Claire Power Trip. They give a portion of all of their proceeds to amazing causes that are women run.
That's so great.
It's actually a really, really cool brand. Everything's like teal. It's like their color, so you can't miss their products.
Mm-hmm.
I like their brow gel too.
Oh,
but this
is,
so you know how people do the inner corner highlight?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, I want to do the inner corner highlight. And this fits in there perfectly. It just gives me a little glow.
So it's like a crayon.
A chubby crayon in a champagne-y rose color that's kind of sheer. It also looks really nice on your brow bone. And then sometimes I've been hitting the like down of my nose like I'm an influencer.
Okay, J-Lo.
Yeah.
Okay, this is called Brilliant Eye Brightener, and the color is Stella.
Oh, I didn't realize it came in shades.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for helping me through my raise a wand. So
when
raise
so
a wand to that.
You're so excited about it, you can't even like see straight.
It's amazing.
Well, I just put it on my hand. I will say it's not waxy and it doesn't feel like a shadow stick. You know what I mean? Like it's very silky.
Like a highlighter, but you're surprised it's in a crayon format because it's so smooth.
Exactly.
Thank you for helping me talk about it.
Okay.
What are you raising a wand to?
I am really excited about a Kiehl's product. And you know that I love a bit of Kiehl's. You know that my husband worked there for a long time, but this is unbiased, okay? Because this, it took me a little bit to try it, and you know, I tried it yesterday, and I have to tell you, I felt immediately soothed. It is the Kiehl's Calendula Water Cream.
I have been seeing that everywhere, and I've been tempted to try it, but then I was like, I don't have spot in my skincare routine. Tell me why I need it.
It is. I'm. It's like my skincare area is like a club. It's like one in, one out, babe. So
no.
Something's coming out. Okay. I'm not going to tell you it's coming out. But something is coming out. And this is why I put it on. So I've been feeling, and we could talk about this in another segment because I actually want your help. My skin, when I put on my makeup in the morning, it's like, okay, I get to work. And it's like, it's gone into like continents. It's like crusty up on my forehead, crusty here, but
Pangea's
then like
happening.
It's like exactly. It's not even, and it's not that I'm wearing a ton of makeup. It's like there's something going on with my skin where some bits are like holding on to makeup and other bits are not.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's not. I'm gonna go away from foundation for a bit because everything's getting all crackly. So at the end of the day, I looked at myself. I shrieked in horror. It was like crackles everywhere. And I just grabbed this Kiehl's stuff, which is right by my desk because I've been meaning to try it. I put it on quietly at my desk. And then I go to talk to Vicky, who's a woman I work with. She's wonderful, but she doesn't pull any punches. She goes, wow, you look great. Your skin looks radiant. What did you do? It was the freaking Kiehl's water cream. And then other people started saying like, yeah, your skin looks great.
Do you think you were just dehydrated and it's a great moisturizer?
It gives you a little. It's
a little extra.
It's a little extra. It's a little slippery. And it is, you know, it's getting warmer. It's a weightless cream. It's good for normal to oily skin.
Okay, so you're getting light texture, but enough hydration that you get like dew factor.
There was a lot of dew factor.
Mm.
So I like it. They sell it for $48.
Raise a wand.
Razor wand.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.